On the Gull's Road by Willa Cather. The Ambassador's Story. It often happens that one or another of my friends stops before a red chalk drawing in my study and asks me where I ever found so lovely a creature. I have never told the story of that picture to anyone, and the beautiful woman on the wall, until yesterday, in all these 20 years, has spoken to no one but me. Yesterday, a young painter, a countryman of mine, came to consult me on a matter of business, and upon seeing my drawing of Alexandra Ebling, straightway forgot his errand. He examined the date upon the sketch and asked me, very earnestly, if I could tell him whether the lady were still living. When I answered him, he stepped back from the picture and said slowly, "So long ago? She must have been very young. She was happy?" "As to that, who can say about any of us?" I replied. "Out of all that is supposed to make for happiness, she had very little." He shrugged his shoulders and turned away to the window, saying as he did so, "Well, there is very little use in troubling about anything when we can stand here and look at her, and you can tell me that she has been dead all these years and that she had very little." We returned to the object of his visit. But when he bade me goodbye at the door, his troubled gaze again went back to the drawing, and it was only by turning sharply about that he took his eyes away from her. I went back to my study fire, and as the rain kept away less impetuous visitors, I had a long time in which to think of Mrs. Ebling. I even got out the little box she gave me, which I had not opened for years. And when Mrs. Hemway brought me tea, I had barely time to close the lid and defeat her disapproving gaze. My young countryman's perplexity, as he looked at Mrs. Ebling, had recalled to me the delight and pain she gave me when I was of his years. I sat looking at her face, and trying to see it through his eyes, freshly, as I saw it first upon the deck of the Germania 20 years ago. Was it her loveliness, I often asked myself, or her loneliness, or her simplicity, or was it merely my own youth? Was her mystery only that of the mysterious north out of which she came? I still feel that she was very different from all the beautiful and brilliant women I have known. As the night is different from the day, or as the sea is different from the land. But this is our story, as it comes back to me. For 2 years, I had been studying Italian and working in the capacity of clerk to the American legation at Rome, and I was going home to secure my first consular appointment. Upon boarding my steamer at Genoa, I saw my luggage into my cabin and then started for a rapid circuit of the deck. Everything promised well. The boat was thinly peopled, even for a July crossing. The decks were roomy, the day was fine, the sea was blue. I was sure of my appointment, and, best of all, I was coming back to Italy. All these things were in my mind when I stopped sharply before a chaise longue placed sideways near the stern. Its occupant was a woman, apparently ill, who lay with her eyes closed, and in her open arm was a chubby little red-haired girl, asleep. I can still remember that first glance at Mrs. Ebling, and how I stopped, as a wheel does when the band slips. Her splendid, vigorous body lay still and relaxed under the loose folds of her clothing. Her white throat and arms and red-gold hair were drenched with sunlight. Such hair as it was, wayward as some kind of gleaming seaweed that curls and undulates with the tide. A moment gave me her face, the high cheekbones, the thin cheeks, the gentle chin arching back to a girlish throat, and singular loveliness of the mouth.